Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, she is just 21, but already forging a promising career in the world of music. Her name is Anna Laura. She's just released her debut album of the very same name, and she's right here in Australia. Anna, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I love your mum's name, who is joining you as well. Rosia?
Rocio, yes.
Rocio. Beautiful. A wonderful Spanish accent there. You know, my wife and I just had a couple of weeks in Peru at the beginning of the year. And yes. Do you know what? I can hardly remember any Spanish.
Well, it's something that you have to definitely practice. You know, if you don't practice it, you forget it. You lose it completely.
Your mum is Mexican.
Yes.
And
so is my dad.
A Mexican heritage. Okay.
Yes.
But you actually live in Texas.
Yes.
Just in the next door, really, to Mexico.
We go to Mexico like every day.
Yeah. Why would you go to Mexico every day?
Our family lives there. As Latin Americans, we're just very prone to family. So I miss my grandmother every day if I don't go visit her, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, welcome to Australia.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's your first time into our country, isn't
my
it?
My very first. It's gorgeous. I love it. I mean,
like
we
it?
Haven't really been to, you know, the major places, but it's just driving by. It's just beautiful.
Mm. When did you realize you wanted to become a muso?
I had always sang. My parents always tried to keep me out of the house by, you know, putting me in music lessons, voice, piano, guitar, everything. And when I, you know, I always grew up in church, so I would sing at church. And then when I turned 18, I joined a Christian music talent search. The grand prize was the record deal. And it was really funny because the entire way up, my dad was trying to prepare us, you know, you're gonna, you know.
Softening the blow.
Exactly. You know, in case you don't, nothing goes wrong, it's okay. You know, we just came to have some fun and we'll just. And then when we finally got it, it was just kind of the shock. I couldn't believe it. I thought he was joking with me, you know, but it's been a huge blessing and tremendous, you know, experience that I've gotten because of that.
Mm, okay. And that brought out the first single, Water?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Has certainly got a lot of airplay here in Australia.
Oh, really? I heard. I was so excited.
And you're actually classically trained, aren't you?
I am. I took vocal lessons for about 8 years, and a lot of it was just doing some opera, which has nothing to do with the stuff that I do now, but it definitely helped.
Since you're bilingual, because you speak Spanish as well, yes. have you done any Spanish songs?
The next record that we're doing is going to be mostly in Spanish. We're definitely going to have some songs in English, but mostly in Spanish. And I'm more fluent in Spanish, so I'm getting to songwrite, which is, I only wrote one of the songs on this last record, but on this new record, it's mostly going to be songs written from, you know, me, my sister.
Okay, so this whole Christian music deal has been your thing for the last, what?
4 years.
4 years.
Yes.
Mm, okay, so how are you adjusting to that? How are you adjusting now to Anna Laura now being a name and actually having a name on an album, a couple of albums indeed? How are you getting used to that?
It's definitely a big responsibility. You know, you see a bunch of stars out there kind of being very reckless with their position that they've been given to by the public. And I think that, you know, whether you have a huge fan base or a little fan base, you have to be accountable to them. And it's so important to just keep your eyes focused and keep yourself grounded. Mm. And for me, that's my family and my church. You know, they keep me grounded. They keep me focused. And if I'm doing something wrong, they're just like, hey, watch out. You know, you're not doing that right or whatever.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps. And it's just such a huge, tremendous blessing to have someone to say, you know what, I feel this way. I feel like I've been doing this. I'm walking off the path. And
yeah.
They say, you know what, let's pray for you. You know, and it's just so great.
One of the best definitions of success I once heard somebody say is that success is having those closest to you respect you the most.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I think that's true in so many levels, because when they respect you, they respect you enough to be honest with you, you know, and if they see that you're getting a big head or that you're falling off the path of, you know, true humility, if you will, you know, they're the first ones to tell you. I remember when I first got my record deal, the first thing my sister told me, she's like, she just sets me aside and she's like, hey, don't think I'm going to treat you any differently. And I was like, oh, okay, that's great. Thank you. And she hasn't, she's held to her word. You know, I'm still a big sister that needs to be, you know.
That's right. I still remember the time you stole my dress, my shoes.
Exactly.
My mascara.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she keeps me in line.
Well, tell me about your faith then. That's something that's been nurtured within your family.
I was born into the church. I was born into a Christian family. And I think the danger with that, to a certain degree, is you become numb to it. You just don't get as excited as you would if you came across it yourself. And so whenever I did come across it myself, I think I was 14, 15, when I just realized, you know what, I want Jesus to be, you know, in my life. I want to be a part of God's family, and that was my choice. And it makes a world of difference, you know, when you come to it on your own terms rather than you're kind of shoved into it. Mm. But it's been just a great experience ever since. Mm. You know, I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Mm. And tell me about your church.
My church is a Spanish church, and we're actually trying to get a bigger youth following. And our youth is growing, and it's kind of funny because our church is so strict and conservative, you know, so we're trying to break the barriers and, you know, bring in our little drum set and, you know, our electric guitar. So it's been a growing
process.
Isn't
that interesting? So here you are, you've got, you know, albums out and you're touring Australia, and yet, you know, you're part of a, you know, a fairly conservative church that's still wrestling with some of those aspects of how much is worldly music and how much is sacred music.
Maybe. Exactly. But it's been so great, you know, whenever you put youth out there to participate, they feel more of a responsibility to the church, and they, you know, they get more excited about going. They're like, okay, so I'm gonna play the guitar this weekend, or I'm gonna, you know, sing or whatever, be part of the youth ministry. It's just so great.
So you're a youth leader in your church, aren't you? You sound like you're taking a bit of a leading role.
Yeah, well, my mom is the one really that started out, you know, this kind of like revolution within our little church.
Rocío the Reformer.
Yes, exactly. That we should call her that. And but yeah, it's been a tremendous blessing just to see how the youth have grown and how the youth is growing, you know, how you know, they invite their friends now they want to have their friends over at church, you know, before it was like, you know, well, we don't even want to go ourselves, and now it's like, I might want my friends to come see our church and be a part of that. So it's great.
That's fantastic. What would you like your music to accomplish, if you wanted to accomplish anything?
Definitely with this last record, the main focus was you are beautiful, you know, because I had come out of so a lot of self-image issues when I was growing up. And the main thing that I felt focused on was letting young girls, young adults know that they are beautiful, that they, you know, that they don't need to give up who they are in order to be beautiful, that they are worth something no matter what, you know, no matter what you look like on the outside, no matter what's going on the inside, you know, you are accepted by God, you know, he's paid the ultimate price for you.
Interesting, isn't it? The very insidious nature of self-esteem issues. Because, I mean, I would look at you and say, well, there's no charge there for you even to be concerned. But that's the very nature, isn't it? There's so many girls who have got no problem with their looks one bit.
Exactly.
Don't see that in the mirror.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, it could be a little comment that someone made at school or at work, whatever. But it definitely is important to know that you're not beautiful because of what you look like. You know, you're beautiful because you were made by our creator. And
big point, isn't it?
And
essential point.
Exactly.
Beauty is vain, as the
exactly. Beauty is subjective. You know, you can go back in time when, you know, which I wish we could, you know, when fuller girls were more beautiful, you know, where you could weigh 130 and you would be considered the most beautiful thing. Yeah. And now you have to weigh 90 pounds and it's just so horrible. But it's just so great to just feel confident in not yourself. You know, you have to be self-confident, but self-confident based on you are
on him.
Yeah, exactly. You are saved, and that's all that matters.
And yeah, what he thinks of you, that's the prime thing. Your issues with self-esteem actually worked out into an eating disorder, is that
they
right?
They did. I had anorexia and bulimia almost simultaneously at one point, because I felt that the only way that I could be pretty was if I lost more and more weight. And it just, you know, it grew into this obsessive, you know, self-destructive pattern that now, even though I went through that horrible thing, you know, now I'm like, you know what? My mess is now my message. You know, the horrible things that happened to me, God has used in order to talk about it, to tell, you know, maybe somebody that's not feeling so great about themselves, you know, you're beautiful. Don't worry about it. You know, you look in the mirror, you're going to see somebody gorgeous no matter what you see. Yeah.
And these days, are you further down the path of restoration?
Exactly. Yes. It was quite a few years ago. So now, you know, I still struggle with, you know, whenever I look in the mirror and I feel like I don't see exactly what I see on TV, you know, and but all of that is airbrushed, so I don't even worry about that. You know, I've been on the other side and I just know I don't even worry about that. It's all airbrushed. There's, you know, Photoshop. Yeah. But
it's true.
But, you know, you just have to constantly surround yourself by people that are Christ fearing. Read the Bible, because once you read the Bible, you see beauty in that, you know, and when you love Jesus, what you radiate is his beauty, his love, you know, and that's just the coolest thing.
And that is true beauty.
Exactly.
Which can't go over time.
Exactly.
In fact, it only gets better over time. The album is Ana Laura.
Yes.
A-N-A. And the MySpace page, myspace.com/AnaLauraMusic. And that's where you can find out details of it, basically where you're going to be, because you're going to be, over the next 7 weeks or so, you're going to be here in Australia,
yes,
getting to most of the capital cities. So myspace.com/AnnaLauraMusic. It's been good to have you on Open House.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.